You might have seen this list of goals floating around Facebook this week. This year, I want to be more like Jesus, hang out with sinners, upset religious people, tell stories that make people think, choose unpopular friends, be kind, loving, and merciful, and take naps on boats. Those are good goals. And we find Jesus in fine form of upsetting religious people while also being kind, loving, and merciful in Mark chapter 2. Susan told us the story of the friends who raised the roof to get to Jesus. And actually, there are four more stories back to back in Mark in which Jesus keeps having people in authority come up to him and say some variation on, "Excuse me, you're not acting appropriately." In five quick stories, Jesus challenges the social and religious conventions around forgiveness, hospitality, fasting, Sabbath, and healing. Values you might think should be understood and celebrated in all their forms. But Jesus challenges each in turn, and I hear in him that line from The Princess Bride, "You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." Jesus liked to make people think about the things they claim to believe, but maybe don't always examine. This story of forgiveness and healing also examines what faith is. The central character and his friends couldn't make their way through the crowd into the house where Jesus was, so they found their way onto the roof and dug their way through so they could lower him to the ground with a rope that was there. I don't really know what's up there. And they gave their friends some literal FaceTime with Jesus. We read, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed person, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" When you see that word faith in the New Testament, it is often best translated for our ears as faithfulness. Today we hear the word faith and we can think that it's something that we just do in our heads. But faithfulness is a way of life. Faithfulness is hearing what your friend says they need and following through to the end. Faithfulness is being bold enough to name what you need because it might give your friends the opportunity to get closer to Jesus too. It's carrying a friend over the crowds onto the roof. It's trusting your friends not to drop you when you start that descent. Faithfulness is seeing the challenges through together. Jesus saw their faithfulness, these five friends, and said to the one in front of him, "Your sins are forgiven." The story doesn't even tell us for sure what the friend who was being carried was seeking. Was it forgiveness? Was it physical healing? Was it just a chance to listen to Jesus? He couldn't do any of that without his friends making the building temporarily accessible. We don't know exactly what their conversation was that morning, or as they hit each potential obstacle. It's a good reminder to actually stop and ask and listen to the help that people are wanting from us, not assuming we know what needs doing. I mean, who knows? Maybe this man who was paralyzed said to his friends, "I think you need to hear what Jesus is teaching." And they said, "Well, we're too afraid to go on our own, so you need to come with us." The physical healing the first friend received was not what Jesus saw as his top requirement. Forgiveness came first. In fact, Jesus said that the purpose of restoring his power to walk was to teach the grumbling scribes about the power of God's forgiveness that was flowing through Jesus. On the surface level of the story, four friends carried one to Jesus. But when we turn it around, we also see that those four friends only got a close bird's eye view of Jesus because of the first friend. We each carry each other in different ways. Each of us has our own power to bring one another closer to Jesus. Today, we reflect on how this is true as part of a global church. And on this Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday that we celebrate with others, we look at the global picture, particularly of that little sliver of the Christian community of which we are a part. This week is what we mark as the 495th birthday of Anabaptism. On January 21st, 1525, in Zurich, Switzerland, there's a handful of folks, some in their 20s and 30s, who were discontent with the established church. And, well, maybe like those five friends in Mark, feeling like they couldn't get close enough to seeing Jesus with all of the hoops and conditions that had been stacked around him by that establishment. So they rebaptized each other. They called each other to a commitment to follow Jesus in life. They sought to bring one another closer to Jesus. They broke the law, is what they did. And they got in a lot of trouble and danger, those early Anabaptists, our ancestors in faith. But because of that beginning, which was not without its spots and wrinkles too, we at Hamilton Mennonite Church are family through Christ with more than 2.1 million people around the world who are members of Mennonite World Conference. This is where we are around the world. That is even less clear than on my computer screen. Anyway, look at those beautiful dots. Aren't those dots nice? If you want to see more detail, you'll have to come and look at the back of my office door. I have the paper version hanging there. But I can tell you that the countries with the highest number of MWC members are starting at the highest. You know the highest? Guess, the highest is pretty obvious. Sorry? No, the very highest is the United States. But then, Ethiopia, Edgar. Then, country we've already prayed for today, Congo. Then, those green dots, India. Canada, number 5. And then 6th in line will be our hosts for the next MWC assembly in July 2021, Indonesia. I can't stop going to these assemblies, so if anyone wants to start talking about an HMC travel group, let's talk. Let's get going on this. In the introductory letter for Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday, Cesar Garcia and Gerald Hildebrand wrote that this day is an opportunity to remind our communities of faith that we are all part of one body made up of many tribes, languages, and nations. It is an invitation to visibly proclaim that now there is no discrimination among us on the basis of race, social status, or gender. It is a special day on which to show that we are living a new life in a new society where we mutually support one another, carry those who suffer, serve the world, and interdependently learn from one another what it means to follow Jesus. On this day, we celebrate that in Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the cultural and national boundaries that separate us have been overcome by the cross. Each of us can bring one another closer to Jesus. Each of us can carry one another toward hope. This is the theme that was chosen for everyone celebrating Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday, Jesus, our hope. Even in the midst of deep troubles, we come together from around the world to follow Jesus, who gives us hope. Along with that story from Mark 2, we also heard Lamentations 3 just before the sermon. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The Lord's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in the Lord. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. These words are in the middle of 5 poems of lament, communal despair at the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army in 587 BC. These words of hope live even in the midst of naming heartbreak and suffering. Hope can live anywhere. One story of hope from our MWC community comes from Dave Enns, pastor of 188 Community Church in Winnipeg. This is a church lunch. So Dave writes, "I sat with Gary on the corner of Portage and Donald in Winnipeg. Someone told me they'd seen him panhandling there, so I went to join him. Gary is a friend of mine and part of my church community in downtown Winnipeg. It was a different sort of pastoral visit. He was quite drunk when I found him, but he was glad to see me. Gary is a Christian and struggles with alcoholism. 'This isn't me,' he said. 'I am more than what you see here.' I assured him that I knew that. 'It's just this alcohol. I don't know why I do it.' This story doesn't end with Gary's addiction disappearing, but he knows that his hope for a different life is found in Jesus. His hope is found in belonging and becoming part of something bigger than his addiction. Within the church community, Gary finds that he matters. He is not just a recipient of charity, but a member of the body. He has something to contribute, and rather than be consumed by his addiction, he finds purpose in Christ. But it's a slow, patient journey. And so I journey together with him and he with me. We learn from each other. And when life is not so good, we even end up visiting each other on street corners." We each have the power to carry each other closer to Jesus. In an email this week, MWC General Secretary Cesar Garcia wrote, "Hope as a result from faith in Jesus may be defined as the ability to see a new reality and to act based on it. It is to long for a different world and behave as if we are already in it. Waiting on Christ is never passive, never simply a feeling. It is to realize that there is already a new creation here and now, and that through the power of Christ, we are part of it. Anabaptists in the 16th century understood this. While many reformers imagined how a church whose members have chosen it rather than being born into it would look, separated from the state, practicing restorative justice and voluntary redistribution of goods, the first Anabaptists believed it was possible by the power of the Spirit and acted accordingly. They established new faith communities that, beyond having hope, became hope for the society of their time." Nowadays, Cesar still writes, "it is easy to lose hope. The polarization, racial segregation, exclusion, violence, rebirth of nationalism, and threat of climate change is hopeless. Nevertheless, for followers of Christ, believing that tomorrow will be different gives us hope. Living accordingly to that tomorrow makes us an embodiment of hope in the eyes of others. It is my prayer," Cesar says, "that today our global church, just like our ancestors from the 16th century, can be hope for the world around us. That our church can be an alternative society where diversity is valued and reconciliation is lived. Let's celebrate the Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday by being hope." We each have the power to bring each other closer to Jesus, and we each have the power to be hope for one another. There are enough days, maybe, when we don't know how to find hope ourselves, and this is why Jesus gave us each other. This is why Jesus gave us the church, to be hope and to find hope and to reveal to each other Jesus, our hope, when we're gathered and when we're scattered. We can carry each other to Jesus, our hope, when we're brave enough to name what we need, and when we trust each other to share the overcoming of the obstacles we face. "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Your steadfast love, O God, never ceases, Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Scale the walls for this hope. Raise the roof. Leap into small buildings with a single bound. Look for Jesus and don't stop. Jesus Christ is the hope we share. Will you join me in reading together the shared convictions of Mennonite World Conference? There are many questions in the global church that we do not all agree on, but these convictions were adopted 14 years ago as common ground, a place that we can return to, perhaps especially when there are other things that we differ on. So let's read these together. Oh, and I didn't... By the grace of God, we seek to live and proclaim the good news of reconciliation in Jesus Christ. As part of the one body of Christ at all times and places, we hold the following to be central to our belief and practice. Left.
God is known to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator who seeks to restore all humanity by calling the people to be faithful in fellowship, worship, service, and witness. Jesus is the Son of God. Through his life and teachings, his cross and resurrection, he showed us how to be faithful disciples, redeemed the world,
as a worldwide community of faith and life, we transcend boundaries of nationality, race, class, gender, and language. We seek to live in the world without conforming to the powers of evil, witnessing to God's grace by serving others, caring for creation, and inviting all people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In these convictions, we draw inspiration from Anabaptist forebears of the 16th century who modeled radical discipleship to Jesus Christ. We seek to walk in his name by the power of the Holy Spirit as we confidently await Christ's return and the final fulfillment of God's kingdom.